morning. Our scripture reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, verses 13. And it reads, "And now these three remains, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of the three is love."
Amen. Thank you, Brother Isaac. Good morning, brothers and sisters. For our visitors, good morning and welcome. We really appreciate your presence today. I can assure you of one thing, that your presence today is not an accident, and that God will guide us and the word of God will touch you and inspire you to do his will. Amen. We as a congregation, we are the Northern Lights Church of Christ. Our mission is to love as family, grow in Christ, and be a blessing to all people. I hope that when we leave today, we'll go out to be a blessing to all people. Amen. I'll start with a little bit of a story. So there is this pastor who wanted to encourage his child to pray. So every night they will go down on their knees and pray. So this night, the kid is 3 years old. So he asks the kid, "What would you like to pray for?" And the kid says, "I want to pray for onions." The dad said, "Okay, let's pray." So they prayed for onions, and the kid went to bed. The next morning, the dad asked the kid, "So why did we pray for onions again yesterday?" And she said, "During your sermon, you said we should pray for something we don't like. And so I prayed for onions." This morning, I will not ask us to pray for something we don't like. I will pray for something about love, hope, and faith. Amen. So 1 Corinthians 13 is a very popular chapter on agape love. It is used at weddings, it is used at funerals, it is used at presidential inaugurations, it is used in songs, popular songs, references 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And when the Apostle Paul wrote this chapter, he was writing it in the context of a very strong rebuke to the church in Corinth. When he was writing to the church in Corinth, at this point, the church, they had a lot of issues. There were rival factions within the church fighting against each other. People were bragging about their spiritual gift. There were misuse of Christians' liberty within the church. And so Paul is writing to them from verse chapter 1 till all the way to 12. He's talking about some of the things that they are doing. And then he comes to chapter 13. It is a short read, so we'll just go ahead and read through the entire chapter. If you have your Bible with you, you can also open to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'll be reading from the NIV version. It says, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." He goes on to say, "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. You see, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. If you were to think about that entire chapter, Paul is providing the Corinthians that when they are acting and doing things, there are three categories he's looking at it. One are acts of faith: miracles, signs, speaking in tongues. And those signs were given to us by God so that it can convince others that, yes, this is truly a child of God. But Paul is saying, even if you were to have those power and you are able to do all those miraculous things, but you don't have love for the people you are doing it for, guess what? He said it's worthless. Even the actual sign that says, yes, this is a child of God, if you were to have all of those signs and you don't have love within you, he's saying it's worthless. The second category that Paul drew their attention to is the act of faith. He said with the act of faith, it's an act that is intended to help somebody, encourage people, like mission works, feed my seven children, all of the acts of services that we provide. And he said, yes, that is good. He's not discounting all of those. But he's saying, if those are also done without love, they are worthless. The third category that Paul drew the attention to are acts of love. If you notice, the acts of love are not really defined. But they might be both acts of faith as well as acts of hope. But he's telling them, when you are doing any of those with kindness, with patience, with perseverance, not intending to hurt the other person, not intending to pay somebody back, you know, see, I am better than you because of the wrong that you did to me. He's saying when you do all of this act within the context of love, that is what God desires of each and every one of us. Someone said that Paul was reminding these Corinthians Christians that they needed to make love their aim, that they needed to know and demonstrate the love of God in their service to others, and also that this love will outlast the faith that brought them to Christ in the first place, and even the hope that sustained them in the world. When we have love, it is natural for love to express itself in deeds. You know, if you have love, it cannot just be bottled in. It always seeks to express itself out in the things we do. So he's saying this is the most desirable thing that you want: ability to have love for one another. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. See, God's love just overflowed to the fact that he gave his only begotten Son for us. A saying is attributed to St. Teresa of Avila. It says, our Lord doesn't care so much for the importance of our works as for the love with which those works are done. It sounds harsh to say he doesn't care about that work. Yes, he does care, but more importantly, he cares about the heart under which those works is being done. What does this mean to me? For me, it means that when I engage in any act of service or of work, that I need to be very contemplative about my actions. What is the purpose of my action? Is it intended to hurt or to build up? Yes, there will be some actions that you've really thought about it and believe, yes, this is a good thing I need to do. But maybe on a second thought, it might lead to somebody else being hurt. That brings us to this point. At any time we are contemplating about an action to take, the best thing is to go to God in prayer, asking for his guidance in the decisions that we make. Sometimes we might get it wrong. But the key thing is that we go to God in prayer and ask for his guidance, even in the small decisions we make and the big decisions we make. Sometimes we think less of the small decisions that we make daily. But those small decisions and sometimes compromises that we make in day to day provides a window whereby people can see through our soul. They can either be refreshed by what they see or they can be turned off. So even in the small decisions that we make in a day to day, it's good to go to God in prayer. I'll have to draw a corollary to one thing that I did this summer. I had a chance to coach my kids' soccer team, my son's soccer team. One of the things that I discovered, you have these young boys that, you know, come together and they want to learn how to play soccer. By the way, the World Cup is going on now, so you see some people. You have to talk about soccer somewhere. So you have these young boys coming up. They have the hope of being great players. Probably they also have love of soccer or the game, or they might be encouraged by their parents to come and learn how to play soccer. Their skill level varies. Not all of them are at the same level of skills. It's like us, when we come to Christ, our faith might not be the same. There will be some people that are of, you know, a weaker conscience and others that are more mature in faith. So the young boys come to me in those different ranges of skill set. Myself as a coach, what do I do? How do I get these kids to work together as a team and win a game? So we'll jump into the goal, pretend to be a goalie. They kick the ball. I allow them to score. They are so happy. Woohoo, I can do it. And so they're excited about the game. And we go through some skills. You see, once they score, their hope gets solidified. I can do it. Their skills, not yet there, but it's building up slowly. And the love for their game increases. We go through some skill works, and they're increasing their skills. As Christians, we increase our faith through coming together, through reading the Bible. Then we get into a game. The game starts, and they're trying to apply those skills. Sometimes they get it wrong. And then we are trailing behind. They are discouraged. What do I do? I'll jump in, cheer them up, try to remind them why they signed up for soccer in the first place. Try and remind them why they can win. And everybody's saying, yes, we can win, we can win. And they go back in, and they strive, they apply their talent, and they come up. Sometimes we win, and sometimes we lose. Even when we lose, I said, you guys did a good job. Keep going. I see that as what Paul is doing in this chapter. Paul is coming today as a coach, coming in. Yes, yeah, you guys did bad right here. You guys did that bad right there. You guys did well right here. And it's encouraging the Corinthian church as well as us, saying, you can do it. Remember the first love that you have for God. Remember the faith that you have in God. Remember your hope. He's saying, you can do it. Keep going, guys. And so Paul is encouraging the Corinthian church as well as encouraging us at saying, keep going, we can do it. As Christians, when we come to church, guess what? We are to be that to each other. We are to be the community of saints that encourages each other. Yes, you can do it. Yes, you can do it. Push each other up. That is a sacred duty that we shouldn't take it very lightly. See, that duty calls each and every one of us to be a source of strength to the other, to boost each other's faith up, to encourage our hope. Make sure that even when you are weak, that each other can pull up one another up to become strong. Sometimes we've allowed outside influences to affect this sacred work of building each other up. You might ask, to what extent do I do this? To what extent can I build my brother up? Paul provides an answer. Paul responded that we can encourage each other to the extent that we forgo our rights. Now, as Americans, that is like, wow, we have a constitutional right to certain things. Forgoing our rights, what does that mean? When you go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, from verse 9, it says, be careful, however, that the exercise of your right does not become a stumbling block to the weak. Verse 12, when you sin against them in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause them to fall. Paul is saying that we can encourage each other to the point that we can even forgo certain things that, you know, we might enjoy so that their faith can be built up. I can hear you saying, wow, yeah, you don't know the style of relationship I might have been in, or you don't know this other brother that is very difficult. And the relationship did not work out. Yes, human beings, we are very messy. With human beings, it is almost impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Sometimes we do not feel like loving. Sometimes we are so hurt that we don't even want to mention the word love. And love becomes the last thing that comes to our mind. With humans, it can feel impossible. With God, all things are possible. The type of love that Paul is talking about is very intentional. You know, it's not a warm, sometimes it might not be a warm, fuzzy feeling. Sometimes it might be, I have to do this. And sometimes you just say, God, give me the strength to do it. So we have to rely on God to be able to love each other. Let's look at a very practical example in the Bible of how faith, love, and hope can come together and help us through adversity. We'll go to the book of Ruth. The story of Ruth is about a Jewish family. I would say they had faith in God. I know some contemporary Jewish writings indicate that the father or the husband, Elimelech, might not really have was strong in faith. But let's go with the Bible for now. They had faith in God. But there was a big famine in Israel, so they did not have, their farm was not producing fruit, so they had to move. They moved to a different country, Moab. The family seemed to be doing okay, just, you know, for a while. But something happened. Elimelech, the breadwinner, fell ill and died. I can imagine Naomi praying when the husband was ill. I can imagine her praying and asking God that he might get well. For people that have lost their spouse, especially even within the context of, you know, our society, it can still be a difficult transition period. Someone described it this way. It says, on one hand, you become numbed, detached. Somehow, things don't quite make sense. You have this person that you've confided in. The person was your sounding board, and now the person is no longer there. And the person is not coming back. And it's nothing that you did or said that resulted in this. There are so unexpected holes in your life. And then there are your children who are also grieving. So you have to become strong somehow so you can take care of them. You know, you can imagine Naomi's situation. And then cast yourself back in the days when the man was the sole winner, breadwinner. So Naomi's situation is not very good. But I can imagine she's saying, I have to be strong for my kids. And so she get up, rally the kids, and they move on. The kids got married to two Moabite women, Ruth and Orpah. When things like that happened in a foreign land, who do you turn to? She might have cried. She must have wept a lot overnight, praying to God and asking, please, can you help me? The two sons married Moabite women. If you look at Deuteronomy, God had said that people from the Moabites cannot enter into the congregation of the assembly. So I'm not sure if it was love at first sight or if it was due to the fact that they had hard time and they need to negotiate and get a farmland. I'm not sure. The Bible doesn't say. But the marriage is on. And the two children died. Now, she had almost had a little bit hope that the kids will take care of her. And now both sons are dead. What does she do? What does she turn to? Who does she turn to? Her hope for a better life was diminished. Where will she find food to eat? She's at a foreign land. She's making calls, I guess calls in terms of phone, but checking in somehow. Has God visited Israel yet? His response was, no, not yet. But now, 10 years later, her husband is dead. Her two sons are dead. And all she has now are these two females, foreigners. She doesn't know where to turn to. What do you do when your hope is dashed and you feel totally hopeless? Fear sets in naturally. You see, fear is the concern that you have when you believe things are not working out, the things that you hope for are not coming true. Fear sets in. But when you are in that situation, it is when that you turn to faith. When our hope is dashed, we need to turn to the foundation of our faith. And that is what Naomi did. In our society, we know sometimes we have a situation whereby it's an hopeless situation and some have turned to other vices to make themselves feel better. Drugs, alcohol are sometimes used to help cope with the hopelessness. And some have even hurt themselves as a way to cope with hopelessness. Not Naomi. Naomi turned her eyes towards Bethlehem and to a God of the hopeless. She remembers the practice in the land that they can, if you are poor, you could be redeemed. That if you are out on luck, you could be redeemed. That God put things in place to help people in our situation. Can imagine her saying, I'll go back to my land, to my people, and to my God. If I must die, I'd rather die with the Lord. This is the path for how we can address a situation that is hopeless. Turning to God of the hope and the hopeless, to the God of the faith and the faithless, to the God of the love and those that cannot be even loved. God promised that he will give us hope, even in dire situations. But for Naomi, even though she had faith and she was struggling here, but you could see her trying to reconcile with the situation. She said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. My situation is very bitter. She told her daughter-in-law, it grieves me very much to know that the God I worship allows this to happen to me. If she really felt that God was against her. sometimes in our lives we will feel almost as if the situation is out of our control. And we don't know what else to do or where to turn to. We can act as Naomi. We turn to the Father of the fatherless, the God of the hopeless, the God of those that cannot be loved. And he said, I will love you. My love is always there for you. You see, even Ruth, who was a foreign woman, Naomi had thought she might be a burden. But Ruth turned out to be the instrument through which God worked to restore Naomi back to wholeness. Naomi's and Ruth's hope and faith in God was strengthened by the help of members of the community. Brothers and sisters, we must be that community whereby each other's faith and hope is strengthened. We have to be that community for each other. When all hope fails, faith keeps you going. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Essentially, it's saying, I see it even before it happened. I believe that God will come true even when it doesn't look like it. I can see that small cloud, and I'm ready to act on that. Do you question the hope to which you were called? The hope of a calling is based on the fact that God is not human, that he should lie. God is not a human being, that he should change his mind. When God speaks, he acts on that. He does not promise and never fulfill what is promised. The writer of Hebrews states that this hope is an anchor of the soul, a hope that is both sure and steadfast. See, this is the hope that inspires endurance in the face of adversity. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Is your hope in God secure despite your circumstances? If our hope is not anchored and secure in Christ, our faith becomes weakened in the face of adversity. See, you have to make sure that your hope is secure on that solid rock, so that in the face of adversity, we have something to hold on to. If you believe this word, can you say amen? Like Jacob, who struggled with the angel, we can identify by saying, Lord, I will not let go until you bless me. We can ask for an increase in our faith that we may trust him with our body and soul. And we may act like Jesus would act in all circumstances. We can ask God to bless us today with an increase in love for one another and for everyone else. Just like our love for you overflows, so that we may be blameless and holy. Brothers and sisters, God's word offers us hope in all areas of our lives. God's word says that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and clean us from all unrighteousness. You see, today, if you've heard his voice, do not harden your heart. Respond to God's word today. If you have not given your life to Christ, you have a chance today to renounce sins, confess that Christ is Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. You might also be here today needing prayers for a repair in a broken relationship, needing prayers for forgiveness, needing prayer that God should rekindle that Holy Spirit in you towards obedience of his voice. Please, if you have heard his voice today, do not hesitate. Come out, and the elders will be ready to counsel and pray with you. Amen.